Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption, and we have placed over 5,200 children into loving homes. Since 1990, we have advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families, and helping families grow through the adoption process is important to us. Our offices are located in Jennison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and the mid-Michigan Saginaw area, and our private adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly podcast, so we thank you very much for listening in today. We do hope that you find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. And today, we are talking about an important subject, and it's in reference to openness in adoption. And just the title of today's podcast is When You Want to Be the Only Mom. And we are going to be hearing from Christy Moore. She and her husband are the proud parents of two girls. Tessa is 7 years old and Emma is 6 months old. So I'm very happy to welcome to today's show Christy. I think you're on the line.
Yes. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Thank you very much for being with us today and sharing your journey through adoption. And I was hoping, Christy, that you could start us off today by sharing some details about the early part of your adoption journey.
Sure. So I always knew since high school, I knew that adoption would be part of my plan to parenthood. And always had that desire, felt like God had placed that on my heart. And so adoption was just always a thing, something that I looked forward to. When my husband and I met and were dating, we would talk about adoption, and he was all in. He was excited about it. We knew that we had love that we could give to children, and we wanted to do that. And so after we'd gotten married, we began the road, because when I pictured adoption for all of these years, I always pictured a child from another country. Mm-hmm. Especially that was when adoption to China was just so huge. And so anyone that I knew that had adopted, they had adopted from China. And so I pictured that. And right away, China had this huge long, like for years of waiting, a wait list at that time. And so that was off the table. And we started kind of going through countries. And because one, I think that's, you know, you kind of had that idea of that's what adoption was. It was from, you were adopting a child from an orphanage. And and so there was some naiveness on my part there. And two, because I wanted to adopt, but I did not want, I wanted to adopt a child or a baby who really kind of, I pictured abandonment. I didn't want there to be other, didn't want there to be, I didn't want to know them. I selfishly just wanted to be the only one. And so we kind of went through these countries, and for whatever reasons, whether it was we didn't make enough money or my husband had been married before, or just for whatever reasons, a lot of countries we didn't even qualify for. We started down the path to adopt from Guatemala, and then that closed. And so then finally my husband's like, I really think that we need to look at domestic adoption. And I was like, nope. You know, and I feel like any time I say, no, I'm not doing that, that's what I end up doing. I have to work my way through it. And so it's very much the case in our adoption story, because that was a hard no for me. I did not want to have a birth mother. I was so in it. There was like these preconceived notions in my mind of, could she take the child back? Could she could she come back years down the road and the child would be ripped away from us? And that was just a lack of education on my part. And And so I had these worries, and I didn't want, you know, our child to want to leave us and go live with her. And but as we educated ourselves, and Adoption Associates was just incredible in that, we said, okay, this is what we're going to do. But even then I said, I only want a semi-open adoption. Doesn't have to be a closed adoption, but I only want a semi-open adoption. We'll do the pictures, but that's I don't want the closeness. I don't want visits. And so we started down that road, and we actually had two possible adoptions that fell through, and that was hard. That was really, really hard. The first one, there was just such excitement. We're finally going to have a baby. And then she changed her mind, chose to parent, which was wonderful for her and felt devastating to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was a loss that we suffered. But we tried again, and it happened a second time. And in that, I really kind of had a time where I thought, okay, I feel like doors just keep closing. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I'm not supposed to adopt. Maybe this is not for us. And so I kind of thought I was done because I was sad, and I was, it is hard and it is scary to open yourself up and to be cautiously optimistic, but you're still very optimistic, and you think that you're going to grow your family, and then to have that change, it can be devastating. And so I really felt like we were done. And then we were actually approached by someone that we knew who called us up and said, I'd like you to meet someone. She's 4 months pregnant. And she'd like to talk to you about adopting her baby. And I said, no. I said, nope. We've just done this. I'm done. And I'm so thankful that he was relentless and did not take no for an answer, and and continued to kind of push us and got me to finally say, we will meet her. But, you know, in my mind, I was like, we'll meet her and have a nice conversation and go on our way. Like, that will be that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to meet her because he's not going to stop asking me. And so so we did. And she was wonderful. And we knew. And we fell in love with her right away. So so then we, and that was, you know, over 7 years ago. So she was carrying Tessa, and we got to have an experience for those last 5 months of her pregnancy. My husband and I were her coaches in the delivery room, and it's been a beautiful relationship ever since. And then we always kind of hoped that it would happen again, but also didn't really push it, and had finally kind of, we were at peace with, okay, this is, our family's complete, and we're good. We're good with that. Literally got rid of all of our baby things that I had held on to for lots of years. And in less than 2 months after getting rid of everything, we found our second birth mom. She found us. We found her. We found each other, and we knew her. We actually knew her, and we did not know that she was pregnant. And then she was at our house for something, and we had a conversation, and 3 months later, we got Emma. So, yeah, that's kind of our adoption journey in a semi-abbreviated format.
Of course. And all in 10 minutes. But, Christy, I want to back up just a smidge there, if you don't mind. And I want to ask you, I know that the concept of openness is what had initially steered you away from domestic adoption. You
yes.
guys were on mm-hmm. a path for international, and the real main issue was openness and kind of your feelings about that. And I know one of the things that you said to me was needing to feel like you were the only mom. So I want to explore that mm-hmm. a little bit for our listeners, because I don't think that you're alone in how you were feeling at that time about that, and this concept of needing and wanting to be the only mom and the fears that went along with that if you weren't the only mom. Will you talk about that a little bit, please?
Yeah, yep. And in that, in our family, I was also raising two stepsons. And so I had that experience where they were in my home every day. I was raising them, but on Mother's Day, they went to spend that with their mom. And so I already wasn't the only mom, knew kind of the heartache and how that can feel sometimes. And so I did not want to feel that. And I I was scared. It was fear. It was selfishness on my part, because I wanted the title of mom, and I did. I wanted to be the only one. I didn't want to share. I wanted to be it and only it. You kind of picture when you have kids, or when you picture having kids, I wanted everything to revolve around their love for me and my love for them. And very much was afraid of any other elements, any other people being part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was fear in what if there is openness and my girls love their birth mom more than me? Or what if they feel more connected to her than me? She got to carry them for 9 months and I didn't. So they have that bond. And so, I felt like I would already be behind and missing out on those 9 months. And so I didn't want to, in my mind, I almost imagined it kind of as that it would be like a competition.
Okay.
And I'm so thankful that I was the farthest thing from, that was the farthest thing from the truth, from reality.
Right. I was going to say,
really,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Well,
no,
in time, your thinking about openness began to change. And I think that wasn't like some great big aha moment that we see in the movies, but you
right.
began to change a little by little.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear how that happened and what happened. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I think, as I feel so blessed. It really started in those 5 months with Tessa's birth mom while she was still pregnant. And I got to pick her up and take her to every doctor's appointment. And I wanted to be a part of her pregnancy. She wanted me to be a part of her pregnancy. And so we got to go to the ultrasound. And if she was having a craving, she craved Olive Burgers, Speedway slushies. And she didn't have a vehicle, and so she would text me, and I would gladly, make a run and bring it to her. And it was in those moments that I really realized, I always knew, there was never any doubt that I would love this child. I mean, from early on in my life, I knew I absolutely would love a child through adoption, but I was so surprised in those 5 months with Lindsay that I loved her too, that I really, we were forming a bond and a mutual respect and love for one another, and that I deeply wanted her to be good, and I cared about her, and it did. It happened over those 5 months of driving to and from the doctor's office and
mm-hmm.
and going on a slushy run at 10 o'clock at night. And I'm just really caring about her to the point where, when we, you know, we were at the hospital when she was being released, and when you're at the hospital, the birth mom is released, at least in Lansing. She had to be released first before they would release Tessa or discharge Tessa. And so, but we all waited in the room together, and we're sitting there waiting for her discharge papers. And when she got them, I cried. She didn't cry. She was so strong. I cried because I was sad. I was sad that all of these moments that we had gotten to share, they were done. And then I realized they didn't have to be. Mm-hmm. So
I love it. I really appreciate your candidness, and I feel the emotion behind your words. I think that this concept that, you know, what you said to me was, we loved her too. And that was really, you were referring to the birth mother, and that was very surprising. Mm-hmm. Here you were pursuing international adoption because of fear of openness, but now here you are feeling so sad that maybe this openness is going to end with the birth mother, the very one that you were feeling nervous about.
Yeah, and, you know, it was because she wasn't sure what kind of openness she wanted, too, after.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't
mm-hmm.
sure, and we really left it in her hands of the ball is in her court. What are you comfortable with? We don't want it to be harder on you. We want you to be just well and happy and thriving. And so whatever we can do to help that, we would love to continue in an openness. So let's just kind of take it month by month, year by year, and see what happens. But I was nervous and sad, thinking that maybe she wouldn't want that. And that was just shocking to me to think, you know, it's like I had come, and it goes back to, I feel like every time I say, nope, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not driving a minivan. Will I drive a minivan? Or I'm not, you know, like, it's just, and so I shouldn't have been the least bit surprised that that is where I had come to in this journey. But it did. It took years to get there. And now I can't imagine our life without our girls' birth moms, and mm-hmm. and it's so, I'm so thankful that they both want to have this open adoption, because it's the best thing for our girls. It's the best thing. I'm so thankful. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just gonna say, you know, we are gonna fast forward here due to our time length on our podcast, but I think that, you know, here we are, or here you are rather, having adopted twice, and maintaining relationships with both of your daughter's birth mothers, and I think that you've described how you've kind of come through this transition and process of being open to open adoption, but I'd like to hear from you about why you believe that the open relationships that you have with your daughter's birth mothers is good for your daughters and is good for
sure.
you and is good for the birth mothers. Because I know that you believe that, but if we could hear from you about why is this a good thing?
Yes, definitely. And it is good for all three of us. It's so good for the girls, for our girls, because I'm thankful that they'll never have to wonder. They will never have to wonder who or why or where is she? What is she like? Do I look like her? They'll never have to wonder why didn't she keep me? Because they'll be able to ask those questions. And they'll have that relationship. Tessa's birth mom was actually over at our house for brunch last week, and we just enjoyed time together, and she and Tessa played board games and did nails, and it just was healthy, and I'm thankful that, and then the joy then that I see in our birth moms in getting to see the girls, in getting to, because they don't have to wonder why either. I can, you know, it breaks my heart when I think of how adoption used to be years ago, And I'm so thankful that it has changed so much so that both Tessa and Emma's birth moms don't have to wonder if they're okay, don't have to wonder if they're happy, because they see that. They see that in the pictures. They see that in the visits. And then it's a good thing for me because, for instance, our baby, Emma, she had quite a few health concerns in a really rough first, like, 3 months of her life. And I was incredibly thankful that all of the medical forms and the family history forms, not only did Emma's birth mom willingly and gladly fill everything out, but her whole family. So we had the birth grandma and the birth great-grandma, and they all were just willingly giving any information. I could call them. I called her once from the doctor's office and asked a question because I'm like, I don't know, but I can ask. I can find out. And that I'm so thankful because that's the best thing for my girls. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to have so many question marks, even just on the forms at the pediatrician's office. And that family medical history, and I see myself and my girls, and I see their birth moms in them, and there it's a beautiful mixture, and so I love. It's just healthy. It's just the best. No one has to wonder or question.
Awesome. So we're gonna kind of come full circle here. I think we started with this concept of wanting to be the only mom and you talking about how strong those feelings were for you in the beginning, needing and wanting to be the only mom to your children. And I'm interested in hearing from you now, Christy, about how you talk about and honor the birth parents in your home. And if this was hard for you, now, practically speaking, having your children and not being the only mom.
Mm-hmm. From the beginning, and Adoption Associates does such a great job of educating as far as here's books and here's the great terminology to use and here's maybe the terminology that you shouldn't use. And so from the beginning, we really soaked all of that in, educated ourselves, and educated our close family and friends around us. And so we would read books, especially, you know, Tessa, so she's 7 now, we would read books to her about adoption, and she kind of just knew from the beginning that she didn't grow in mommy's tummy. She grew in Lindsay's tummy, and so when she was littler, we called her tummy mommy. And that's just, I don't even know how that came about, but it did, and it seemed right. And now, you know, she knows Lindsay is her birth mom, and Emily is Emma's birth mom. And the only thing that Tessa says is, I wish we both had the same one. And because she has a special bond, and then she sees a special bond that Emma has with someone else. But I think we honor them. And the first Mother's Day was weird. The first Mother's Day after Tessa was born, you know, I didn't know what to do. Did I get Lindsay a gift? So that first Mother's Day, we actually just exchanged text messages and I sent her a card. But she was the first one to text me Happy Mother's Day, which was awesome. And so then it kind of has just gone from that. Oftentimes, we don't necessarily celebrate Mother's Day with their birth moms, but some time after that, usually like a couple weeks after that, we will get together and just have a special time together. Brunch last week, and she came over, and Tessa set the table and made her a card and had a present and had her spot all set up for her, and really just helping them feel honored and cherished and loved, and helping our birth moms feel secure that they are honored in our home, just even in the words that we speak. And so that has just been a culture for our family. And so it was never like a one day we sat down and had a conversation with Tessa. She just kind of always knew.
Mm-hmm.
And that has made it easier. It has made it comfortable. So there was never a moment. It was just,
this is how.
And then using helping her feel comfortable that she came into our family. She was adopted. We don't say she is adopted because that's not her identity of who she is. She was adopted. She grew in Lindsay's tummy. This is all part of the way that God weaved her story together and brought us into a family. And he used all of us. And we are all part of who she is. And, so that's how we've navigated it so far.
It sounds like you're doing a fantastic job. And those fears that you had, you're welcome. Those fears that you had early on about, you know, being the only mom, and you clearly are their mom. You are the mom of Tessa, and you are the mom of Emma, but they also have birth moms too. And so this isn't a replacement one for the other. There's enough room for all of you.
Exactly. There's a quote that I have given to both of our birth moms that says, I hope I say it right, she is yours in a way that she will never be mine. She is mine in a way that she will never be yours. And together we are motherhood. And I think when I really embraced that and my fears went away, I'm a better mom for it. And my kids are better for it. And therefore their birth moms are better people for it. And I feel silly at this point now thinking of those fears and thinking of how I was like, nope, I will not adopt a child whose birth mother might be a part of our lives because I can't imagine any other way now. And it's just this beautiful triad. But it took some time to get there. And there was heartache. And I'm not naive to think that there won't still be heartache at some point, you know. But my love for the girls' birth moms, as surprising as it was, is what will get me through any possible heartache in the future.
And you have the education behind you, the adoption knowledge, and then always, of course, a caseworker is just a phone call away at Adoption Associates to help navigate any of that for you too. And we are so very appreciative, Christy, for you today and coming on and really being so candid and open about your own struggles early on and where you are today. I know that this podcast will be helpful to some others as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope so. The whole journey just makes you stronger. And so if you open yourself up to something that maybe is a little different than your mind expected it to be, it can be beautiful and you can be a stronger, better person because of it. And so I hope that that others will open themselves up to it as well.
Thank you so much, Christy. And for those of you that are listening, you can check our Facebook page, Adoption Associates Facebook, later today or tomorrow to see a picture of Christy and her two beautiful girls that she's shared with us. So thanks again, Christy. And for those listeners that are interested in connecting with Adoption Associates or receiving more information, we would be happy to hear from you at 800-677-2367. And remember that Adoption Focus podcast is live on Tuesdays at 11. Other ways to reach Adoption Associates is through our Facebook page or the website at adoptionassociates.net. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope you all have a great day. Bye-bye.